glass that Mort had expected, there was nothing. He turned and tried again. The blade passed right through the glass without breaking it. The change in the texture of the air made him bring the sword around and back in time to deflect a vicious downward sweep. Death sprang away in time to dodge Mort's counter-thrust, which was slow and weak.
"Thus it ends, boy."
"Mort," said Mort. He looked up.
"Mort,"
he repeated, and brought the sword up in a stroke that cut the scythe's handle in two. Anger bubbled up inside him. If he was going to die, then at least he'd die with the right name.
"Mort, you bastard!"
he screamed, and propelled himself straight towards the grinning skull with the sword whirring in a complicated dance of blue light. Death staggered backwards, laughing, crouching under the rain of furious strokes that sliced the scythe handles into more pieces. Mort circled him, chopping and thrusting, and dully aware, even through the red mists of fury, that Death was following his every move, holding the orphaned scythe blade like a sword. There was no opening, and the motor of his anger wouldn't last. "You'll never beat him," he told himself. "The best we can do is hold him off for a while, and losing is probably better than winning. Who needs eternity anyway?" Through the curtain of his fatigue, he saw Death unfold the length of his bones and bring his blade around in a slow, leisurely arc as though it was moving through treacle.
"Father!"
screamed Isabel. Death turned his head. Perhaps Mort's mind welcomed the prospect of life to come, but his body, which maybe felt it had most to lose in the deal, objected. It brought his sword arm up in one unstoppable stroke that flicked Death's blade from his hand and then pinned him against the nearest pillar. In the sudden hush, Mort realized he could no longer hear an intrusive little noise that had been just at his threshold of hearing for the last 10 minutes. His eyes darted sideways. The last of his sand was running out.
"Strike!"
Mort raised the sword and looked into the twin blue fires. He lowered the sword. No. Death's foot lashed out at groin height with a speed that even made Cutwell wince. Mort silently curled into a ball and rolled across the floor. Through his tears he saw Death advancing, scythe blade in one hand, and Mort's own hourglass in the other. He saw Kaylee and Isabel swept disdainfully aside as they made a grab for the robe. He saw Cutwell elbowed in the ribs, his candlestick clattering across the tiles. Death stood over him. The tip of the blade hovered in front of Mort's eyes for a moment, and then swept upwards.
"You're right. There's no justice. There's just you."
Death hesitated and then slowly lowered the blade. He turned and looked down into Isabel's face. She was shaking with anger.
"Your meaning?"
She glowered up at Death's face, and then her hand swung back and swung around and swung forward and connected with a sound like a dice box. It was nothing like as loud as the silence that followed it. Kaylee shut her eyes. Cutwell turned away and put his arms over his head. Death raised a hand to his skull, very slowly. Isabel's chest rose and fell in a manner that should have made Cutwell give up magic for life. Finally, in a voice even more hollow than usual, Death said,
"Why?"
"You said that to tinker with the fate of one individual could destroy the whole world," said Isabel.
"Yes."
"And you meddled with his. And mine."
She pointed a trembling finger at the splinters of glass on the floor.
"And those too."
"Well?"
"What will the gods demand for that?"
"From me?"
"Yes."
Death looked surprised.
"The gods can demand nothing of me. Even the gods answer to me, eventually."
"Doesn't seem very fair, does it? Don't the gods bother about justice and mercy?"
snapped Isabel, without anyone quite noticing she had picked up the sword. Death grinned.
"I applaud your efforts," he said, "but they avail you naught. Stand aside."
"No."
"You must be aware that even love is no defense against me. I am sorry."
Isabel raised the sword.
"You're sorry?"
"Stand aside, I say."
"No, you're just being vindictive. It's not fair."
Death bowed his skull for a moment, then looked up with his eyes blazing.
"You will do as you are told."
"I will not."
"You're making this very difficult."
"Good."
Death's fingers drummed impatiently on the scythe blade, like a mouse tap dancing on a tin. He seemed to be thinking. He looked at